The United States presidential election of 1820 was one of the most unique and fascinating in American history. It wasn't just an election. It was a political event that underscored the immense changes in the young nation's political landscape and unity, or perhaps its lack of real competition. It's often remembered as the election where James Monroe effectively ran unopposed, a feat almost unheard of in any democratic system, let alone in the U.S., where partisan politics usually fuels every campaign. To understand why this happened and how it reflected the state of the nation, let's dive into the candidates, the electorate, the mood of the country, and why this election is considered one of the most resounding landslides ever recorded. 1820 was a landslide. James Monroe, the incumbent president, was the man at the center of it all. A veteran of the Revolutionary War, a former diplomat, and a key figure in crafting the nation's foreign policy, Monroe was seen as the embodiment of stability and continuity. His first term had gone well enough to make him incredibly popular, largely because of what's often referred to as the era of good feelings. This was a time marked by a sense of national unity after the War of 1812, with the Federalist Party all but disappearing from the political scene. With no significant political opposition, Monroe had free rein to build his image as a unifying leader, a role he played exceptionally well. He was a president who, to many Americans, represented the ideals of the Revolution and the promise of a prosperous future. It wasn't just his policies or leadership style, but the simple fact that he projected calmness in an era where stability was desperately craved. But what about the opposition? Well, that's where the election becomes even more fascinating, or peculiar, depending on your perspective. By 1820, the Federalist Party was on its last legs. It had been in decline since its opposition to the War of 1812, a stance that many Americans viewed as unpatriotic, even treasonous. After suffering crushing defeats in the previous elections, the Federalists essentially ceased to function as a national party. In 1820, they didn't even bother to nominate a candidate for president. That left Monroe virtually unchallenged, running under the banner of the Democratic-Republican Party, which at the time was essentially the only functioning national political organization. The lack of a significant challenger wasn't just unusual. It was unheard of in a country that prided itself on its democratic principles. This absence of opposition didn't mean the election lacked drama. The electorate of 1820 wasn't anything like what we know today. For starters, voting rights were still heavily restricted, largely to white male property owners. The idea of universal suffrage was far from reality, and the electorate was small by modern standards. Even within this limited pool, regional loyalties and local issues often mattered more than national campaigns. Monroe's widespread appeal wasn't necessarily a reflection of unanimous support for his policies, but rather a lack of a viable alternative and a general satisfaction with the status quo. His administration had managed to avoid major controversies and presided over a period of economic growth and westward expansion, both of which resonated with voters who were eager for stability. The state of the nation in 1820 also played a critical role in shaping the election. The United States was still a relatively young republic, grappling with the challenges of growth and identity. The Missouri Compromise of 1820, which sought to balance the admission of slave and free states, had recently been passed, temporarily easing tensions over slavery, but foreshadowing the conflicts that would eventually lead to the Civil War. This compromise revealed deep divisions in the country, but also highlighted Monroe's ability to navigate contentious issues without alienating large swaths of the population. His leadership during this period of sectional tension earned him respect across the political spectrum, further solidifying his position as the inevitable choice for president. And then, of course, there's the matter of the Electoral College, where Monroe's dominance was most clearly demonstrated. The results of the 1820 election were, in every sense, a landslide. Out of 232 electoral votes, Monroe captured 231, with a single elector casting a vote for John Quincy Adams, ostensibly to ensure that George Washington remained the only president unanimously elected. This overwhelming victory wasn't just a testament to Monroe's popularity, but also a reflection of the political landscape of the time. With no organized opposition and a nation largely at peace, Monroe's re-election was almost a foregone conclusion. It was a landslide not just in terms of numbers, but in the sheer absence of any real contest. However, describing the election as a landslide goes beyond the tally in the Electoral College. It was a moment when the very concept of partisan politics in America seemed to take a back seat. Monroe's near-unanimous victory represented, at least on the surface, a united nation. Yet, beneath this veneer of unity, the seeds of future conflicts were quietly being sown. The Missouri Compromise was a temporary solution, and the question of slavery was far from settled. The absence of a strong opposition party also meant that critical debates about the direction of the nation were often stifled or avoided altogether. In many ways, the election of 1820 was a landslide victory for Monroe, but also a fleeting moment of political calm before the storms of sectionalism and partisanship returned to dominate American politics. So, while Monroe's re-election in 1820 is often celebrated as a high point of national unity, it's worth considering what it really signified. It was a landslide, yes, but it was also a reflection of a political system in transition. The lack of opposition wasn't necessarily a sign of a healthy democracy. It was a symptom of a political monopoly that, while temporarily soothing, left little room for the robust debates and checks that a functioning democracy needs. Monroe's overwhelming victory symbolized both the strength and the fragility of the American experiment at that moment in time. It's a fascinating chapter in U.S. history that reminds us how much context matters when looking at the numbers. The 1820 election wasn't just about James Monroe winning. It was about a nation trying to find its footing in an uncertain world.